Welcome to another edition of Tech Wrap. We still don't have an intro, but that's fine. We've got plenty of content. We're working on that, aren't we, Will?
Yeah, it's coming soon.
We're at our third show.
Tech Wrap.
Episode
3.
Episode 3. We've got a website nice and tidy. We're approved on iTunes.
Yes.
We're showing up on player.fm.
If you use that, yeah.
And if you Google Tech Wrap, you can find us as the second item on the website.
Every week, it's just growing.
It's growing
slowly,
in some form.
But it is improving every week.
All that matters is when we stagnate,
that's the problem.
All that matters is we're having a bit of fun. And it's our third show.
Woohoo! Hey, sound effects. Sound effects now, is that what we're doing?
I thought I'd put it in. I just felt like putting it in.
All right.
So, you can find us on techwrap.net if you want to email mail@techwrap.net. If you do social media, you can tweet us and say g'day. We're Tech Wrap Podcast. Haven't had any tweets. I've tweeted each time we've had an episode, though, so that people that might not have been well acquainted with us could learn about us and maybe have a listen. So, how about we get into the stories of the week, I guess.
How's your week been in tech? Good.
Week has been interesting in tech. The first big thing in terms of smartphone users is the fact that Apple has been doing some testing with its latest version of iOS. They always release a new version of iOS around the time they release a new iPhone.
Ooh.
And so version 9 has been in the works. And usually they have a private developers program. You usually spend about $100 to join it to, actively develop applications and whatnot. And you get to try out all the different software, like iOS, like OS X. They've thrown it out to the public now and said, hey, more than happy to let you guys test the software. You just need to sign up on this website and then you can have a crack at it yourself. Remembering the fact that it's experimental. There's things that won't work in it. Or there's things that, may not work as well as it should. But if you're telling us what's going wrong with it, we can actively develop it and make sure, you know, when it does come to release time, it'll be perfect then. So I've got it on my phone. I didn't get it under the public beta. I actually signed up through another program to be able to go on as a developer and have a crack at it. But now you can essentially go onto the Apple website. I've got it up on my screen. beta.apple.com/SP/beta program is the address, but we can put that in the podcast link if anyone is keen. So essentially you just go to this website and they're offering both iOS 9 and OS X El Capitan, which they're working on at the moment.
Such a good name, isn't it?
It's hard to pronounce.
El Capitan.
El Capitan.
Oh, goodness.
So essentially you sign in with your Apple ID and then there's a few steps you go through to do the installation. But you can do the installation on your phone or your Mac device. Keep in mind, you need to make a full backup of these things before you start installing the beta program. And
so does it wipe your phone?
It wipes your phone back
to all your apps and everything. Yeah. So it's just like a fresh install of the beta version of iOS. Oh, okay.
Yes. So if you want everything on it, like I have now that I've installed the beta, what you do is you run a backup of your phone, then you upload the new beta software, and then you restore the backup that you made onto your phone then. So you can still have all the stuff after you've done the install, but you've most importantly just got to back everything up
tedious.
So you've got it. It's not for everyone. No, look, it's not for everyone. If you want a perfectly functional phone all the time,
just wait.
Just wait until iOS 9 comes out. But if you love fiddling around and you know, trying new things out and being able to really help the developers to make the software work like quite efficiently before it's even released, you can join the program. And I love new things. I love playing with new settings and new features and being able to point out to friends, hey, look how cool this one looks. You know,
your
things change and
whatnot. You've got it on there now. You've been using it for a little bit.
I've only been using it overnight.
Oh, so you haven't really had much time to sort of explore and play yet. What are some of the new features that you've been noticing kind of immediately that have been standing out to you the most?
Well, I've noticed improvements on the fonts they use. It's a nice, smoother, nicer looking,
cleaner and approachable, friendlier font.
Cleaner
just like the Facebook logo.
Cleaner interface. I reckon the actual overall graphics are finally taking advantage of the resolution of the phone as well.
Oh, so looking more crisp.
It's looking much more crisp than the previous versions have. They're building in more of the Siri functionality into each section of the phone. So there's a search section which you can go into and you can find anything on your phone, whether it's applications, whether it's text messages, and you don't even have to type what you're looking for now. You can just press Siri and search for what you're looking for.
So helpful.
And when you type something in, if I type Boost, because Boost is our favourite beverage, I can find there's a Boost application. I've been talking about Boost in text messages. And if there's emails,
it'll pop everything related to Boost.
Boost, yeah. And it'll show emails. It'll show anything on your phone you can find via that search. And that's neat. And they've also changed the way that the active application screen is.
You're running apps.
Yeah, you're running apps.
You switch between them.
Yeah, so it's following the lines of what Android has done.
They're playing catch up, Geddes.
Oh, I don't call it catch up. I call it, rolling out an idea that another developer has used because it's working well on their system and, it's trendy. So previously iOS had each of the apps and you sort of had to slide your finger along to bring each of them up and then close them if you wanted to. Now you just, you've kind of got them all in front of you and they nice smoothly slide along.
Mm. Very smooth.
And you just slide up to close them off.
So why do you think, you said before that they don't normally do a full beta release to the public. They sort of keep it in developer circles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Why do you think there's been this change now from Apple to say, hey, let's just release it to everyone that wants to get a hold of it?
Well, they've probably had a look at, have you seen how Microsoft has been doing their beta programs in the last two releases?
So once again, Apple are following the lead of everyone else.
They're following other people now. Microsoft has done public beta releases in the last couple of years with the Windows products.
Mm.
And it certainly changed things somewhat for the better. And it's given people an opportunity to feel that their feedback is being taken into account when they release new products. So maybe Apple's finally looked at that and gone, this is a brilliant idea. There are people who don't care about the fact that it's a buggy version of the operating system, but they just want to have a crack and be a contributor to the whole thing.
And yeah, so, you said that probably once the final version is released, we probably will see a new iPhone as well.
Yes, so yes, by September.
Any rumours?
There's always
rumours. The iPhone 7, is that what that is?
Yeah, well, there's always rumours, but I don't often subscribe to the rumours because, you'll find there's like a two-stage thing with iPhones. So iPhone 6 was the big one last year because they went to having two versions of the phone, one with the larger screen and a smaller one.
Do you have a big one or a small one, Geddes?
I've got the iPhone 6 Plus.
You've got a big one.
The big one.
Yeah.
The big one. So, and that had some wonderful improvements in it as well, not to mention the fact you could get either one of the two variants. But you'll find in the next release, it's usually just the Plus or the, what do they call them now? S? Yeah, that's what they call them. The S model.
Like 5S, and then there were like all these other letters, and there were like three different variants of the iPhone 5.
The C's?
It's ridiculous.
The C's were the cheap ones, and they gave up with them the year after they'd released them because they just found they weren't selling as well as they thought they
were.
Which was going to happen because it had all the older components in it. The only one that was up there was 5S, which had new gear in it.
Yeah, like why would you rebuy kind of a slightly better version of your old phone?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd say with the next iPhone coming up, it would be another one of those S models. So it'll have a better CPU, it'll have a better screen. They might be able to make some improvements on the camera, but essentially everything else may look the same and you know, you may have just those two variants.
The big and the small one again.
Yeah, for another year. And then in 2016, yeah, it's 2015. Yeah, 2016 will be the big new iPhone. But until then, you know, that's why I don't subscribe to rumors, because all these rumors go, oh, you know, might even be thinner than ever, or it's going to have an even bigger screen, or it's going to have even better battery. And it's like, well, it may be,
Sometimes they're fun to speculate on, but It's an interesting trend we are seeing with smartphones as well. Like you look at the Galaxy S6 and they release that, and then they release the Galaxy 6 Edge.
Yeah.
And now they release the Galaxy 6 Active. Have you seen that? The Active?
I haven't seen
like
the Active,
Different, there's probably
I saw the other couple.
But yeah, basically it's like it's a more rugged on-the-go phone. It comes with like a really sturdy build and case as well, and all these, you know, fitness features and all this other stuff. So it's like you drop it, nothing's going to happen to it. And it's waterproof and all this sort of stuff. Like take it into the wilderness with Bear Grylls, you know, that type of phone. So there's like three different variants of the S6 at the moment. Who are these people that are buying all these different phones each and every year? Are they more and more consumers, or are they just putting as much out there as possible? Like, why? I bought a Note 4. That comes out in like November, December, and then the new S phone comes out about March, I think. And then they release all these other variants throughout the year. Most people are on a sort of a 2-year upgrade cycle.
The average consumer is on a 2-year upgrade cycle, mainly because they usually have a contract with a provider, and the contracts are 2 years.
Well, I haven't been on a contract in many, many years, and I just find
the 2 year cycle
works. I went
from
a Note 4 to a Note 2 to a Note 4.
Yeah.
Just because I looked at the Note 3 and I was like, well, it's not that much more of an upgrade. And I can just sort of, I can root my phone and put the latest software on there. Specs wise, it's not that much of an upgrade. So I was like, I couldn't justify spending $850, $900 on a brand new phone when it came out.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the point where it's like, oh, it's $600 now. But then, oh, if I wait like 4 to 6 months, I could get the
There'll
next.
There'll be a new one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like
another new one.
So I don't think it's just contracts. I think it's just like common sense and being like, is it worth the upgrade?
And it's an entirely valid point. And I'm the sucker that ends up buying the new phone every year.
But I mean, if I had the money, I'd get one every year. Or if we got it provided to us.
The lucky thing about the contract that I'm in at the moment is the fact that it allows me to take this phone back in when the new iPhone comes out. And I just say to Telstra, here's all my bits, you know, you can...
Here's my bits.
My bits. Here's all
check
my,
out my bits.
Here's my... I didn't know we'd ever get to this.
Yeah.
You take your phone and all its accessories in that you got with it originally, and you just say, well, you know, this is the phone. If you're happy to accept this again, you know, can I have the new version? And they go, yeah, sure. Here you go. And you're on your road, on your way again, you know. No new contract, no spending money, no waiting in line. It's just all done. And the best thing about it is that was actually like an extra feature that you usually had to pay for. But last time I got the phone, they said, oh, you can have that free. So...
Is that an Apple thing or is it...
No, that's Telstra thing. Yeah. So swapping the phone for free, yeah, I'm in for that, you know. You just got to get through a year without damaging the phone. And I seem to have managed it.
Mm-hmm.
Touch wood.
How's your battery life on your phone going? Still holding charge? Well?
Yeah, it's still good. You see, I always make sure that I have a pattern of recharging.
Yeah,
so
you
that,
were telling us about this.
So that it retains the best memory in the actual battery itself and lasts the longest. So I'm not always stuck to the wall charger charging up the phone when it's down 20%, you know. I let it run right down and then charge it back up.
Did you see the...
And I have a good run.
The new Apple Care policy about battery life?
No.
Before...
So they changed the policy. I didn't
even catch
this one.
Yeah, I think it was, I think a couple of weeks ago they made the announcement. It was, I think, before if your capacity was below 60% sort of thing and not holding charge beyond that sort of much, that was the threshold to get a new battery replaced. They've since increased that with Apple Care to 80%.
Ah, yes.
For smartphones and your laptops as well. So, like, if you find your phone not holding charge,
yep,
you can just take it back and get a newer battery sooner,
which
is really cool.
Which is a wonderful thing because...
you can't replace the batteries with Apple phones. It is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's not what you were going to say. But
it's a wonderful thing because Battery is usually one of the things that people whinge about.
Do you find you're in a 2-year upgrade cycle, getting towards the end of the 2 years, your battery sort of not lasting as long as it did? Is it that much of an issue? So I think it's not that much of an issue.
Not to me.
Oh, we'll raise the bar on the threshold, whatever. If it drops below 80%, then we'll just replace it. But I don't think people will notice that much.
Not to me.
It's not going to be too much difference.
But an average
other people, you reckon?
But an average consumer, I know other people around my workplace who start complaining about the battery in their phone towards the end of their 2-year contract, and I just look at them and I think, well, you know, I don't know what you're doing with your battery to get to that point. Because take, for instance, one of my earlier iPhones, the iPhone 3G, which was the first iPhone released in Australia, wasn't the first iPhone. I passed that on to my sister and she had it for a little while. Message on Facebook.
still going strong today.
Yeah, still going strong. Not quite. But it did last like 4 years or so before it started having real battery dramas.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And that was the only thing that was wrong with it. The rest of it was all right.
So this developer preview of iOS, will this just continually push your phone now till you get the final version?
Yes.
So you're not going to revert back to any other version. You're going to keep this till it gets
released. It's too hard to revert. Well, it's not too hard. it's another...
It'll just get better and better as you use it till it's the version that everyone is
on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll keep releasing updates for the beta version until the time that they get ready to release the full version. And then when the full version is released, they'll usually say, well, you know, you got to re-image to the new one so you're in line with the public program and whatnot. But given that they're doing a public release, maybe they might just roll out an update, which then, you know, brings it in line with the people who are just public releases and they're going to just do a software update. That sort of thing might happen.
Yeah, it doesn't come to me as much surprise that they are beginning to do this, because we're seeing this across, you know, most platforms and software companies do release earlier versions of their software so the masses can test it. I think they're just starting to realize that they can get a wider pool of quality control sort of thing and the users. Normally you'd have to pay maybe like an external company of 100 employees to test your software rigorously and submit bugs and stuff, but now you can just get people to do it.
And they don't necessarily find...
Cool. But it's cool for us too because we get the latest software and get to play with the new toys and actually give our own feedback to the...
Absolutely.
The guys what we want.
Absolutely. And to pay like companies to do testing, you know, they don't always find all the bugs.
You can't sort of do everything everyone would do in the world sort of thing.
Yeah. So putting it out there with the general people and having a crack that way and getting feedback from people about how it's rolling, well, it's awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of updates, let's switch over to Android.
Yeah,
so
let's
Apple's
go to Android.
Got their iOS, is it 9?
iOS 9.
And their El Capitan.
And El Capitan for OS X.
Android are going strong with their... Android M, which is the next version of the Android operating system. So they're now up to the second version of this. They released the developer preview 1 and everyone got their hands on it, gave a heap of feedback. Yeah. And now they're up to version 2 or preview 2 of Android M with some minor tweaks between the two versions. But just in case you're not up to speed with Android M, these are some of the highlights that the new operating system will bring us. You can now, we'll have fingerprint support. You can pretty much do everything on your phone, pay by fingerprints, unlock your phone by fingerprints, fingerprint integration into like sort of any app so developers can access that. So you can now sort of, you know, you can do your PayWave just by fingerprint. Done. Very cool. A big one is like a complete redesign of the permissions model when you install apps, which is very cool. So before in Android phones, you basically, before you install your app, it says, here is everything this app is going to access, and you can either agree or like decline. If you decline, you can't install the app.
I remember this situation.
You basically have to blatantly accept all the permissions, and that's been the case ever since.
And you used to look at them and go, you know, why does this need access to my microphone?
Yeah, you get
what's it going to do with my microphone?
Just trying to access ridiculous things, and maybe some dodgy developers out there just wanting to access your contacts for no reason.
Yeah,
like things like this. So they're completely redesigning this permission model for Android M. So basically now there are 8 permission categories and applications are no longer granted all of their specific permissions when you install, which is the case currently. and now an opt-in system is going to be used in which users are prompted to grant or deny individual permissions to an application when they are needed for or when they're called for by the app. So you might install the Facebook app and it basically wants to access everything on your phone. You'll install it, and then when it wants to access each thing, each time it will pop up and say, hey, maybe you want to connect your contacts to your Facebook app Messenger. And it'll say, hey, this app wants to access your contacts. Do you want to allow it or not allow it? And then you can choose on an individual basis. So maybe you want to tag yourself down at your local establishment.
Local establishment. Yeah, there you go.
and it'll say, hey, this app is wanting to access your location. And then you can deny or accept that as it comes up.
Except,
which I think is one of the coolest features.
Don't tag yourself at that establishment.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
Avoid that one. I didn't mean that, Geddes. Okay. So that's very cool. The new integration you mentioned, Siri, was also being further integrated into the Apple software and stuff. And on the Android side of things, Google Now, which is their sort of informational retrieval system.
Are they doing something the same?
Well, they've kind of always been on par of what Siri's been able to do, but now they're trying to further integrate it into the system and apps that you use.
Wonderful.
So you can now bring up, they call it Google Now on Tap or Google on Tap. So you can be in specific apps and then just throw out an OK Google and it will be listening within that app, and it will provide you with like contextual results based on the app that you're using. So you might be using Gmail. Somebody's texting you, hey, do you want to think about getting dinner tonight?
Mm.
Google Now will take that automatically and then throw up suggestions of restaurants in your area automatically. You could be in, Spotify listening to an artist or a song, and you might know them by their artist name, and then you can just throw out, like, who's an artist that we don't know their name of? Come on, radio guy.
Imagine Dragons.
Imagine Dragons. You could be like, you could be listening to Imagine Dragons, and you can just be like, who is the lead singer?
And that could tell
and
you.
You don't
who
even
it is,
need to provide, you don't even need to say who is the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, which is what you'd have to do before.
Yep.
It will automatically detect that you're listening to Imagine Dragons and know the question you're answering to based on what you're using on your phone. How crazy is that?
It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
To
so
some
that's
degree.
Like a big thing they're working towards Android M. Some other minor improvements, like you can do landscape browsing your phone now. You can uninstall apps from the home screen, which is kind of cool. Before you could just remove the icon and you'd actually have to go into your app drawer to then drag it to uninstall. So it just makes it a little bit easier.
So they've pulled something from iOS.
Is that from iOS?
Yeah, because it's
not a big deal, but it's really handy.
Uninstallation of apps on iOS is essentially just holding your finger on the button of the app, and then these X's come up, and you just press the X, and it goes, do you want to delete this one? And you
iOS doesn't have an app drawer per se, does it? All your apps are just on your own screen.
Yeah.
So there's the difference. Yeah, it's a nice little
feature. But tying it in so it's, you know, just a couple of steps instead of, you know, six steps and through this menu and through that menu makes things easier for the person on the receiving end, so.
Mm. So you say the final version of the iOS will be released probably with the new iPhone.
Around the release of the same iPhone.
The same with the Android iOS. Android M will probably be released with the new flagship Android phone.
Yep.
Last year it was the Motorola Nexus 6.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what it'll be this year.
Yeah.
So they'll probably wait till that, then release their version of Android M, and then everything else will sort of follow. Note 4 and then the Galaxy S's. And
could it be a HTC or would it be just another Google phone?
So that's Android M at the moment. I don't think we know what the M stands for just yet. I don't think it's been officially. They always like to play those guessing games with us. Like, we didn't even know what the Kit Kat, we didn't know what the K was going to be. There's a lot of speculation. It's a bit of fun. Mm. So what do you think? What do you think the M could stand for?
Well,
any ideas?
Well, we've had a lot of food and stuff in there.
Yeah, they're always so. Desserts.
Yeah,
and maybe as a refresher, here are the previous versions.
Give them to me. Give them to me.
So we've had cupcake.
Yep.
Donut. Eclair.
Really?
Froyo. Yes.
I didn't even realize that.
These are the early versions, probably before you even had a smartphone. You're still rocking the old physical keyboards. So cupcake, donut, eclair, froyo, gingerbread, honeycomb, and these are probably the more well-known ones that come out now. Ice cream sandwich, old ICS, jelly bean, and then Kit Kat.
Yeah.
And then most recently what we're on at the moment is lollipop.
Lollipop.
And next is M.
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 What are you thinking?
I can't even think of a dessert starting with M right now. That's how great my mind is at the minute.
Milkshake.
Milkshake.
Android milkshake.
Bring your boys to the yard.
Android milkshake. These are some of the moon pie.
Moon pie. Oh. Yes.
Marzipan.
Oh.
These are all speculations that are out there. Mentos.
I don't think they're a dessert.
I don't think they're going to. Well, it's a sweet jelly bean.
And it's not.
It's like more a brand.
And it's a commercial brand.
Yes,
yeah.
I don't think. But Kit Kat was. And they went with Kit Kat. I think that was a special part. I doubt they're going to do another branding.
I'm
thing
surprising
like that.
They managed.
They'll go with something more vague, I think.
Yeah. I'm surprising they managed to get Kit Kat, considering. Yeah,
they did some big partnership and promotion deal thing. But I don't think they'll do that again. So, mango. Maybe.
Fruit.
Maybe. Milky Way.
That's another bloody brand.
I know.
And, it's another brand.
I think one of the top ones is marshmallow.
Well,
I think that's one of the that's out there. Is like, this will probably be, this is the crowd favorite, marshmallow.
Yeah. You know,
between, I think it's marshmallow and milkshake for me, I like.
You know, marshmallow does get turned into a dessert. Like, it's a sweet,
you can
but
do so much with
you
it.
Put it on a stick and you put it by a bit of fire. And then it's a sweet, like, desserty treat sort of thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if marshmallow, actually.
Maybe.
Marshmallow or milkshake? I think marshmallow. Because you look at jelly bean, like ice cream sandwich.
Now, I wouldn't
lollipop,
have
lollipop, marshmallow.
I wouldn't have even thought,
I'm calling it
thought
marshmallow.
Of that. Yeah, marshmallow. Okay, let's go, let's
like
go with marshmallow.
You're going to go with something different.
Let's go with marshmallow.
No, your boys to the air. You don't want to bring all the boys to
I've got a milkshake. Yeah, I've got a future suggestion, though.
Oh, you got a fresh one.
A tea. It'll start with tea.
What, the next version of Android?
Yes.
Android T.
Android T.
What do you got? What is it going to be?
Tiramisu.
Tiramisu.
They are such beautiful treats. I love my tiramisu.
That's great. Well, only time will tell.
Yes.
So this will be cool. So we got the beta version of iOS and we got the developer previews out for Android, and I'm sure there'll be further developments as we go along.
There will be more things that go along.
What else has been happening?
So the other big thing that's made news is a group called Hacking Team.
Hacking Team.
Now, they're essentially like a security business. They sell intrusion and surveillance capability software to governments and law enforcement agencies. It's kind of like, you know, remote controlled software, which, you know, can monitor and keep, you know, the government system safe.
Protection from hackers trying to get into your system. They offer this protection, software
protection. Yeah, yeah, and watching out for hackers trying to get into systems
and
whatnot.
Making sure that no one is getting into your system with all your secure data.
Yes.
So you don't want anyone to access.
And
these
guys
will help you do that.
That's what they're
pros,
meant to do.
Top of their game.
They're meant to be top of their game. But on July 5th, 5 days ago,
wow,
the Twitter account of the company was compromised and someone managed to get access to 400 gigabytes of data. And this is data about...
From their company.
Yes. This is data about their clients. This is
boy.
Internal emails. This is invoices. This is source code. And they leaked it via BitTorrent and started sharing it on GitHub.
Oh, so anyone could have access.
Anyone
to
could
all
have
this
access to this information.
Maybe
this
if
company
they
has
so
been
busy
doing
protecting other people's business, looking after their own, they never would have got hacked.
And apparently, they weren't even really looking after their own. Internal leaked emails were showing, you know, bickering inside of the company and other ridiculous things.
It's crazy.
While these guys are trying to secure government contracts. And it was also said that they were trying to lure Australia into a deal as well before all this happened. But Australia might not be on the list at the moment, but there are dozens of countries. If you have a look at the Wikipedia article for Hacking Team, there's countries like Italy, Morocco, Hungary, you know, North America, parts of USA.
And they look after companies in all these countries.
They look after the government departments for these countries.
So theoretically, the guys that broke into them could now break into anywhere else.
if enough data has been leaked about the government agencies, this could go further.
I'm sure they'd be busy patching it up and trying to fix vulnerabilities.
I'm pretty sure I've seen articles floating about saying that there's been people within the United States who have been concerned about whether someone could compromise government systems now that this has all happened.
Very interesting.
And these guys were asleep when all this was happening. And their own company
like
was getting
out of
spoiled.
Like a hacking movie, isn't it? Yeah. See, like a plot to a hacking
movie. It feels like a movie.
Or I feel like we've heard this before. I feel like this happens more than it should.
Oh, and I love this bit. Revealed in the dumps that the hacking team used insecure passwords, including the word password with the capital letter P and the letter 4, Z-A.
Well, you could have the most advanced software in the whole world protecting your company, but the weakest link is always going to be the humans that use it.
Wolverine and Universo.
Universo.
And they're all passwords which don't have any complexity to them.
No one wants to remember a complex password.
But complexity can be the lifesaver in terms of how secure it is. I know they're hard to remember, but You get it down pat after a little while, and at least most security policies allow for at least 60 days, which is 2 months. So
I hate that. Like, it's like our company here, we have to change our password.
It's
every
60 days.
60 days, which I think is so frustrating and annoying that you have to do that. And what most people do is they just tack on another digit at the end of their password. So, like, it doesn't solve the problem at all. It's the illusion of security. I do it as well. And I think everyone that I've ever talked to does it, or they add a capital to what their original thing was. Because who's remembering a brand new password every 60 days? No one.
Well, no.
And, like, if you're not doing that, then you store it in, like, a plain text document or something to remember. And it's like...
Or on a piece of paper.
The biggest flaw ever. Just get one really good secure password the first time you set up, and then use that for the rest of, like, your time at that company. And if you think you're going to be compromised, then get your password changed. I'm sure there's, like, you can detect, like, other logins from outside the company.
Usually.
And you get an email saying, hey, this is trying to be an access from China. Maybe it's time to fix things up.
Yeah.
Like, until that happens, you don't need to just blindly change your password every 60 days. I don't know. It annoys me so much. I hate it. I think it's ridiculous. I think you do too. Like,
at least that's more company security.
Password 1, next 60 days. Password 1, 2. Password 1, 2, 3. Password 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, you know it's true. It's ridiculous.
It's a lot more company security than a business I did some IT for at one stage. They had a book in the top drawer of a cupboard which had all sorts of passwords in it.
Yeah.
Now, that's password security.
Yeah, well, if you don't find the book.
I suppose. The other big thing I saw online, which has launched this week, is a company called Legit. Now, it's like an application for your phone, given the fact that, you know, there's so many new movies and TV shows coming out on different providers. And
this isn't
the
idea I had last week, is it? Where I wanted to aggregate all the streaming service
providers. Drawing along the lines of this.
So they're ready to listen to our podcast and they've stole my idea.
Yeah, so they want to be the go-to place for finding movies or TV shows. And they want to help you figure out if movies are worth seeing in the future or if you can just wait for a release.
So maybe a twist maybe then on what I was trying to do.
Yeah, so they're probably not going to be the place you sign up to get all these things, but they're going to give you a very good solution on being able to work out whether one solution is better for you because it will have more content.
How does it determine that?
Goes through the databases of each of the services.
Yeah, but how does it know that if I should... It's so subjective, though. Like, how does it know if I should go to the cinema to see Jurassic World or wait till it comes out on Netflix or wait till it comes out on DVD? How does it determine this?
Well, it's probably not going to make your decision up, but it's going to determine whether, Jurassic World has been seen by so many million people in the world in the last 2 weeks, so it thinks you should go and see it.
It'll base it on data.
If
it's like 1 week to go, one week left in the cinema Jurassic World, and then it's like, oh, maybe just wait for the DVD. Hype's over. You know, you're gonna have a bad time. The cinema's gonna be empty. Maybe it's like some guy up the back cleaning popcorn off the seats.
Hey, empty cinemas are good. There's no other bugger to you and to disturb you when you're wanting to watch that movie.
See, then why even go to the cinema? Like, the whole point of going to a cinema is to experience the movie with a large group of people and pick up on the vibe and the atmosphere and the electricity in the air.
Hearing as you all someone embrace else's phone
every
go
single
off.
Moment together as one unified.
Someone sitting behind you
cause.
Talking loudly.
No, that's the only reason. You don't go to the cinema by yourself. Like, I'm going to the cinema today. I hope there's no one there. Just wait till watch it at Netflix at home by yourself with the lights off and in your underpants. Like, that's silly. You go to the cinema to enjoy it with a huge group of people, and it makes it so much better, especially for epic movies. I only go see epic movies. Like, I don't really go see everything. Like, you see the ones that you know are going to be grand and epic, and you didn't get the best experience.
You missed out on Jurassic World.
Yeah, I didn't buy into the hype.
That was a good movie.
No, it was...
And I'm not usually into those sort of movies. It's not a remake. it's like an extension to the original. But anyway, this legit service. So aside from the cinemas, content on Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, YouTube, and even iTunes, like, it'll scan their data. And if you say you want to find Game of Thrones, for instance, I know you're only going to find it on one service, but it will search across all the services and go, here, these are the ones that are showing this program, and you can end up, you know, finding the best service to.
See, that's
to
my,
have your
that
content
was my
on.
Idea.
So it yeah, but your idea was more to work on the being the one place to grab it.
No, like, my idea was an it. Aggregate where you can, like, it's like, how do I find, like you say, like a show that maybe I don't know where it is or what I want to stream it. You just search for it and it'll tell you where that it is. And you're telling me this program does that.
That does it.
So if I search Orange is the New Black, it'll say this is on Netflix.
Yeah. Yep.
So it pulls the database of all these streaming services.
Yeah.
Even like and ones in Australia as well.
That I'm not certain on at this point in time, but I'd say they would be doing that as well. Because
so there's a website and an app?
It's an app.
It's just an app.
It's an app.
Legit. We can download now.
We can download now, I think.
Yeah, I might have to check that out.
So, yeah, it's an app called Legit.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll check that one out.
If it's not out now, it's not far from launching
soon.
Either.
Keep an eye, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess now you point out that way, it's what you were thinking
about. Yeah, damn it. I knew
someone
was
already
idea.
Developing
it. And then
it.
They took it one step further. And I guess it, like, it tailors to your profile and they'll learn what you like, I guess, and tell you then if it's more worth
it. It is out
to.
Right now.
Is it?
It is out right now, and you can
Android and
by the look of it.
iOS?
Yeah, both Android and iOS. So you can go out and you can download it. And
we're big fans of streaming services,
and you can use it online. Look at that. I've just opened the web page. I've just connected it to Facebook. Facebook told me it was available for download after doing that, but I can also go onto the website and I can tell it.
Amazon, Netflix...
What platforms do you use?
YouTube,
what genres
iTunes.
Are you into?
Yeah, so you can kind of set a profile and then I say, okay. So you know how Netflix, if you use Netflix for a while, it kind of learns what it says, like, hey, based on this, you might
this
like
is what
this.
You might like, yeah.
This kind of does that, but across multiple services.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I assume they'll probably expand their library as time goes on as well.
And they might take some features from someone like Netflix, who actually emails me a couple of times a month and goes...
They've been pretty spot on with when they're dozing it. I find them kind of annoying.
Hey,
but
try watching this.
If it's something that I'm like, ooh, this is on now, I like it. But if it's something I'm interested in, I'm like, spam, useless Netflix.
Yeah.
But
it's
good.
It's interesting.
Yeah, no,
very
I'm definitely have to check that out.
What you got on your side of things?
Well, there's been some new developments in terms of computer chips.
Yes.
And quite some big ones.
And there's been quite a few developers over the last 50 years who have made processing technology, Intel being one of those big ones, AMD, and...
Samsung as well have been doing a lot of
Samsung.
Their mobile devices.
And even going back further, you got big people like IBM, haven't you?
Yeah, and well, this is exactly who we're talking about, is IBM right here. So after $3 billion...
Wow.
...over 5 years... And 10 breakthroughs they've been saying over the past decade has led them to the creation of the first 7-nanometer chips. Now, just to put that into perspective.
Yeah, I think I need a bit of perspective right now.
They're 7 billionth of a meter in length. That's 1,400 times smaller than a human hair.
What?
1,400 times smaller
than a human
a single hair on your head.
on your head? Is it?
Well, okay. No, it's your pubes. An arm hair. Take a hair. We know how
small you know how small hair is. Yeah.
Imagine something 1,400 times smaller than that. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? So the current generation of chips we're on now is that you'll find in your laptop or whatever.
Yeah, and there
is 22 nanometers.
And they're, you know, in your, you can put them in your hand.
And they're using 22 nanometer technology, 22. And IBM come up with seven.
Seven.
That's crazy. All right. And it's a little bit well off. They think that the next gen will be 14 nanometer chips. And then we'll probably go on to the, some are using 14, and then we'll go to 10, and then we'll go into these 7 nanometer chips, which is absolutely incredible.
Is IBM using this data to share with other developers to work on these improvements? Or
well, they've been collaborating with a few other companies, and they, you know, these, some of these breakthroughs have been in collaboration with big companies out there doing working on their own chips, like Samsung working on their own chips for their phones and stuff like that. And they, you know, they learn from everyone and new materials and stuff like that. So I think it's a combination of everyone, and eventually everyone will get onto it, but IBM were the first to sort of crack it and get it down that small, which is insane.
And the timing is good.
Which they say holds up with Moore's Law as well. Are you familiar with Moore's Law? Which is basically saying that every few years or so, we'll double the amount of transistors on a chip.
Yeah.
And that's been consistent since like 1960-something when he first said it.
And Moore's Law has been very consistent in the last 15 years, although it's slowed down to a point over the last two or three. Intel, if you might have noticed, the core i3, i5 and i7s, not that much has changed in the way that those chips have functioned, their size and feature sets in the last few years, which is different to how it's been before those releases, because we've kind of had a new chip almost every year or two, in fact. Mm. From Intel, and there was one point there you were looking at computing and going, wow, am I ever going to actually be able to catch up with the cost of computers? You know, I can spend $2,000 on this computer, and then in 2 years' time when I'm still using it, they've got the new one out, and you know, I don't know whether I can afford that, but yeah.
It's crazy.
So we'll
see this eventually go out into like all your devices everywhere, more efficient, more faster speeds.
But on the other hand,
eventually
it's cool.
Eventually we might plateau.
And it's cool.
And guy who wanted to implant chips in his body
can do
it with a less of a scar.
He can have a computer in his arm instead.
Like a whole laptop.
Yeah.
Something else that caught my eye is NASA is seriously considering terraforming part of the moon.
Terraforming?
With robots. They want to get some robots up there, start terraforming, get some bases, moon bases, and eventually get some humans up there. So, you know, we've always thought it would be cool to get a moon base, but NASA are like starting to get the ball rolling on doing that.
That's kind of cool that they're going to put robots on there and shoot them around. I don't know what it'd be like living on the moon.
NASA is moving ahead with funding to study several ambitious space research projects, including one that would transform an inhospitable lunar crater into a habitat for robots and eventually humans.
It's interesting.
What are you going to do on the moon?
I don't know what you'd do on the moon for the first years of human life on there. I mean, there wouldn't be that many people who would, you know, put their hands up immediately and go, hey, I want to go onto the moon, you know. It's cool.
I think everyone wants to get out into space, but let's, what are you going to, bored on the moon? Can you get Wi-Fi? Up there? Like, what am I going to do if I can't use my phone or access the internet? Like, what am I going to do on the moon?
Well, of course you're not going to be able to access your phone on the moon. I mean,
do you think they could maybe launch a satellite orbiting the moon that's linked up to one orbiting the Earth and get like
and have a satellite phone
and watch Netflix? That'd be cool. I'm bouncing around playing golf on the moon.
Netflix on the moon. People want to explore these other planets, but of course you don't want to stay there. You only want to go up, have a look.
Yeah. It's like, I'm here now, I'm bored and I want to go back home.
You know, it's cool, you can go up here, but now let's go home now.
Season 6 of Game of Thrones is coming on soon. Got to get back to Earth.
And you know, it costs ridiculous amounts to get up onto the moon, even just to go up and look for a week.
Yeah. What do you think about commercializing space? Like, you know, they had the Virgin Galactic.
Yes.
Whatever happened to that? I remember hearing that ages ago. It's like, we're going to take people up into space.
It's been a crash and burn so far. Like, they've been working on it. Yeah. They've been working on it, but the tests haven't necessarily been positive in their
And especially when position. You see things like SpaceX launching one of their resupply rockets to, you know, rendezvous with the International Space Station, exploding in the air 2 minutes after takeoff. And you're like, maybe I'll get a refund from Branson on my Virgin Galactic ticket. Like, it's scary. I know it's only going to low Earth orbit, but they didn't even make it to low Earth orbit with that rocket. I don't know. A space shuttle. It's so expensive.
And I think the other thing that holds back someone like Richard Branson as well is, you know, he's got all this money and he's got all this development teams and whatnot, but you're not going to have the support of people like NASA and stuff to help you develop your technology. They're just going to go, well, you know, that's commercial in confidence. You can find your own way of getting up there. And they're doing it from scratch. So...
And we're so limited by the technology at the moment. Like, you know, liquid-fueled propellants and stuff, they can only go sort of so far and so quick and stuff. And beyond going to Mars, like, there's little hope for us to kind of explore space at this point in time.
Yeah, give it some more time. Give it some more time.
Yeah, we'll be dead, I think.
That's all right.
When the fun begins.
That's all right.
The Star Trek stuff and the Star Wars stuff will be gone.
I don't want to go to the moon.
I don't want to go to the moon.
I haven't even explored the rest of the wonderful world of ours that we're living in.
Yeah, there's so much more like beautiful and exotic stuff on Earth.
Let's go to the moon.
Desolate planet where we can't even breathe and there's nothing but like dust and grey everywhere. Like,
there is so much more of this, even this country that I have not explored yet because of the amount of money it costs to go from one side of the country to the other. So, you know, I'm happy with exploring the rest of my own country and then going around parts of the world before I even think about trying to go on the moon. Thank you very much.
Somehow figure out how to freeze yourself or implant your thoughts into
And
singularity or something.
And then I can be frozen for a couple of decades, and then when they are ready to go onto the moon, they can thaw me out and we can go for the journey. And I can have more fun.
So, Geddes, we like to talk about several big topics throughout the week that have grasped our attention.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, sort of go in depth about and really flesh out.
And we've had a bit of fun with it so far.
Yeah. But sometimes there are some topics or just some news headlines out there that are just that. They're just headlines, just little bits of news that you go, oh, yeah, that was interesting.
The tidbits.
But that's pretty much it. The news is in the headline.
Yeah.
So we do a little thing called Quick Headlines of the Week, where we just throw out three or five quick headlines to inform you, and then feel free to Google it later if you find it interesting.
Mm.
So we don't have a jingle yet, which I think we were working on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're just going to have to improvise again this week.
Or we can if you like.
Or skip the whole thing.
Can you remember how it goes?
I can't remember how it goes, but I think it goes something a little bit like this. These are the quick headlines of the week. These are the quick news headlines of the week. Quick, Geddes, give me some headlines. I think it was close enough.
Close enough.
Give me some quick
headlines.
Headlines. Yeah, cool. All right. So I remember last week we talked about Facebook and their new logo and stuff. Have you had a chance to check it out?
I've been on Facebook, but I haven't looked at the cleaner new logo.
Well, this week Facebook has announced that they are now expanding and redesigning their news feed preferences. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have seen this.
So now you can tune your preferences by choosing pages of friends' posts that you always want to appear first or at the top of your news feed, which is handy. And in turn, you can block all your annoying friends and pages that maybe you've liked that just post rubbish or links or
wonderful.
Just say, today I ate cereal. Oh, that's exciting, Greg.
My cereal was brown.
Now you can block him or you just post spam links to stuff that you're like, why are you reposting it? So that's cool.
I've got one follower I can block already.
I think it's you can do that now in like your Facebook app on your iOS.
Oh, yeah,
Android,
yeah.
It'll be coming to the desktop. Platform in the next week or so.
Cool.
So that's cool. Facebook, remember we mentioned that Facebook were kind of in talks with some record labels and music companies.
When
we were talking about all the streaming stuff in previous podcasts. If you haven't listened to that, you should go back and listen to episode 2 and 1. Great stuff.
Well, if you've got a few hours spare.
2 is my favorite.
You'll only need 2 hours.
So further developments from that, Facebook might be planning to add music videos in your newsfeed.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Other services are offering these already.
So yeah, you look at Google, right, where they have the official music release videos that come out and they get millions and millions of views. Ridiculous. We all remember Gangnam Style, which is like the most viewed of all time.
Oh, yes, it
was. No other music videos. And if you look at the top 30 most viewed clips on YouTube, only 3 aren't official music videos.
Just 3?
Only 3 out of 30. And they're the top most views clips. So Facebook trying to get official music video releases into their feed and all the ad revenue they'll get from that and the exclusive like releases on their page.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Interesting times are ahead.
And Facebook reckon they can quickly jump on like copyright infringements or people resharing the video. So then they say, oh, we'll get you more ad revenue. So we might see releases of music videos in our feeds before they even get on YouTube.
Especially with the amount of people that are on Facebook these days. Just
blindly scrolling through feeds. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So I get no doubt we'll see further developments there.
Yeah.
Do you remember Google Glass?
Google Glass, yes, I do. They kind of died. They kind of almost released it to the public and then they changed their mind and just made it commercial.
So I think they're slowly trying to work on it. I don't think it's dead. Mm. The project isn't dead. They're still working on stuff like that. An interesting thing that I found that I found kind of amusing, that there was a patent that Google sort of just got recently, which allows you to take photos with, say, your glass device or glass-type devices by putting your hands up in the air and making, like, the picture box in front of the glass. You know, like you see the famous directors, like, framing up a shot.
I'm ready for a photo.
Yeah, or like, oh, this will look really good over here. And then we pan across here and you got your two fingers out. Mm. You can do that in front of the glass and it will take a photo.
I'm ready for a photo now.
So
Google
I don't know
Glass.
If this will be implemented in the technology, but they've secured the patent for it. And you can also do circle ones as well. If you do a circle like with your fingers, it'll take a circle photo. So it's interesting though, they can recognize your hands in a box and then link that to a photo.
Are
so we that's gonna, getting how good the recognition's getting.
Are we
really
gonna
cool.
get into a position where we can't do this in public without someone yeah. going, oh, copyright?
It is a bit awkward, isn't it? If you're just like in public and you're just like yeah, I think it's more,
I'm telling
more subtle
Google
just to
on
like
you.
Tap the side of your hand, isn't it? So that's interesting.
Yeah.
What else has been going on?
Scientists have almost discovered how to resurrect a woolly mammoth.
After talking about Jurassic World, this is too real for
this
me.
This is a kind of thing you'd sort of sit back and go,
okay,
what?
Before you go into your quick headlines, this I was just reading this on a quick article flying through before we started this. It was scientists, I just love the way this was stated. They say they're rushing to freeze plant DNA before a sixth extinction event occurs.
Oh.
So this is kind of related.
This is like woolly mammoth.
And they're saying of the world's estimated like 11 million species, only 2 million have been documented of plant life. So only 1% of the planet's known genomes have been sequenced.
So they're going to try and have a crack at catching them before they're gone.
But I think they're just like slowly trying to sequence as many things over time. So they're trying to bring back a woolly mammoth. I mean, this has been an old thing because they're always like...
They've always been working on it. So they say they're a lot closer and they say that many of the genes are unique to a woolly mammoth and not shared by its closest relative, the Asian elephant, and that the information that they've been able to achieve so far is even closer. But, of course, they don't know whether or not it's worth bringing back a woolly mammoth. And I would have said, no.
Well, I don't think it's whether or not it's worth bringing back a woolly mammoth. I think it's like the implications of what that means. Like, we can bring animals back from the dead. But if they get to that point and then it like, they get it and it you know, it comes to life. How does it come to life? Like,
so let's just go back to
a test tube in a chamber, and then it's just like a fetus, and then it grows, and then it grows big, and it just turns out to be a normal elephant. They're like, oh shit.
Let's go back to Jurassic Park and Jurassic World and see why we don't want to bring things back.
Yeah, like first stop woolly mammoths, next stop Tyrannosaurus rexes that are killing us all.
I know, it's a movie, but there's a strange possibility that sort of stuff could happen if we start bringing back these things. It's dangerous.
Maybe not how it plays out in the movies, but like in terms of upsetting the balance, like the environment, like you know, they're
back to gadgets.
That's funny, though.
Have you heard of a mob called Hearables? They've been making these little earbud things, and they were a bit of a startup. You put these things in your ear, and you use an application, and you can essentially change the sound of what you're hearing around you. So if you were...
I could be listening right now. Instead of hearing your voice, I could be hearing like a really cute girl's voice.
Well, no, not like that. I mean, like you could change the depth of my voice. So if you wanted to remove the bass out of my voice, you could turn that down and tone it back. Or, you know, say you're at a concert and quite often at concerts, you know, the people that are doing the audio have got heaps of bass, but you can't hear the person singing very well. So you can use these things and use this app to change the way that sounds and you know, turn the bass down and make the person more hearable.
Wow.
Now, they've managed to get a $17 million injection to make these things possible.
So they're not out there working on this. Is there a prototype?
There is prototypes and people have tested them. People have reviewed them already. And they're saying, you know, what they do so far is pretty good. So having an actual unit out there, a lot earlier than they thought they would get to is quite a great thing, and capital investment firms are keen to put money into it now, and that's beyond the crowdfunding sources that they were originally, you know, dabbling with, and they were able to get enough money out of that to sort of make some initial units.
Can I use these headphones just to listen to music?
They're not
as well.
They're not headphones.
So I can't,
they're little earbuds.
Double up. They all they do is
tweak. You can't put them in and listen to music. It's more of putting them in to be able to change the way things sound around you.
Okay. So beyond like going to a music concert or really, it'd be cool if you're in like a really noisy environment, like if you're at a pub or a club or something.
Tone back the sounds.
And if it could isolate kind of all the white background noise and then it could hone into your friend talking
That's what they want to do, though. That's what they're aiming to do.
It's a bit far-fetched,
isn't it? It sounds far-fetched, yeah.
You'd have to process all that noise and then determine. I guess like you have noise-canceling microphones on your phone.
Yeah.
When you're in a noisy club or a pub and it tried to isolate all that background noise, so you just focus on that person's voice.
Mm.
So if you could use something similar like that, that could be really cool.
And doing it in the real time is the challenging part, because usually when you process something, you get some delay.
And then what we could do is not only could it then detect that speech, but let's use it as like a babblefish when we go overseas. If someone's talking to us in Chinese, it'll like real-time language translation into our ear.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Innovation ideas.
Yeah, and I'm full of ideas, aren't I?
The other thing that's happened as well this week is Office has actually released the Mac version. Microsoft has released the Office version for Mac, I should say. There you go.
Is this like a landmark thing? Microsoft Office has never been on Mac before.
Oh, it has been on Mac. Oh. So it's had other variants.
So this is the latest version.
But the oldest edition was in 2010, I think, or 2013. And they've released the 2016 version. So
do Mac people use Microsoft products? Or do they?
Yes. Oh. Yes, surprisingly they do, because, you know, sitting in our business at the moment, you know, we've got Office on our computers. We use Outlook. We use Word. Most people use it. So people find, you know, even though they're on Mac, they need to end up using it as well.
I think eventually it'll just be, just come down to brand and what brand like better, and everything will be integrated and compatible with one another.
If people work on compatibility to the point that everything works wonderfully, you know, if I send you a file and you're using a Mac, that you don't get in a situation where you've got to convert my file to make it work, well, that will happen. But if people don't work together and they continue to snub each other, the incompatibility between programs and versions and whatnot's going to continue to keep going on.
It used to be like, I own an Apple, then I can only use Apple products. I own Windows, I can only use Windows products. But now you're seeing a lot of like cross-platform compatibility, heaps of software. You can install, you know, you can probably install whatever you want on each other's programs, which is really cool.
One of these situations where it doesn't work is, say, Apple's Pages software. I've got a volunteer who's created stuff in Pages for me, and then he sends it to me and it's in Pages format, and Microsoft Office doesn't understand Pages format just out of the box. So then I've got to convert it from using an online tool, I've got to convert it from Pages to Word, and then it loses.
What a silly fool. He should have been using Office or Google Docs.
And then it loses its formatting. Yeah. So what did I do? I went and installed a copy of Office on his computer.
I would have told him to redo it in Google Docs and send it to me when it's done.
He doesn't understand Google Docs. That's all from me, though.
Those are the quick headlines of the week. You heard the quick headlines of the week. Thanks for giving me some headlines. They weren't the quickest headlines that we've done. But
no.
Informative nonetheless. And we really need to work on a jingle
yeah.
for that.
And you know what? This hasn't been the shortest version either of our podcast so far.
Yeah, go for a nice drive.
We're almost we're at the hour mark now.
I know, we'll have to trim back.
Thanks very much for hanging around and talking tech with me. And
always good fun.
And thank you very much to anybody who's been listening and bumping our listens up so far. Because it's awesome.
You know, and we will continue to grow and develop as the weeks go on, as we have been.
We're doing this for fun. And we're enjoying it so far.
It's the only thing I look forward to out my bleak week. My grim and bleak week. This is all I have
and
to look
And according to what you were saying, I won't be catching up with you next week. You'll be away.
Oh, yeah. We might have to arrange something.
We'll work something out.
Keep your ears out.
Awesome.
Listening.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next time.
Catch you.